and policy and not enough on action. But the idea that what is needed at all levels and across all sectors is integrated approach, that one we will clearly want to retain it, and we fully concur with it. Also, on the other paragraphs that have been proposed on with regards to two-third, two-quad, two-quint, we have no problem with making reference to human rights. Indeed, it is something that and fundamental freedoms. I think that is something that was missing from the zero draft. Perhaps we may find a way of perhaps at a later stage see how to streamline it or put it in where we make reference to the principles of the Charter of the United Nations, perhaps in paragraph 6. But we're open to that. We think that human rights and good governance are critical for prosperous societies, and that I think all international community is in agreement. Finally, our really last comments, and I'm sorry to take the floor for so long. Just very quickly on the on paragraph 4 by Liechtenstein Porter, we think it's a very well crafted paragraph. We congratulate the delegation of Liechtenstein. We're looking very favorably to it. Perhaps it captures in a sense a lot of elements that are here and may help us in a way move forward. Quick comment on paragraph 4 with the different amendments. We are supportive of the idea of making reference to natural resources. We are also supportive of the idea of making reference to the, as well, the notion of carrying capacity of its ecosystems. I think that it's something that deserves further discussion. It's an important element. We thank all those delegations that have expressed favorable views to the two paragraphs that Mexico has presented for sext and for quint. And I think that, and we look very favorably as well to paragraph 5 alt as proposed by the G77. I think that at the end of the preamble, as in any good book, we need to tell the reader what's coming next. So this paragraph 5 alt, that's very much of the reiteration of the relevant resolution of the United Nations General Assembly specifying what are the objectives of the conference, should be, in a sense, our guiding marker that will allow us to proceed the work in the next sections and think that, in a sense, is the index that shows what is to follow. So it will help us to structure this declaration and to the reader understand what's coming next. So I think it's a very valuable suggestion. Thank you very much for allowing me to make this intervention, Chair.
Not at all. Thank you. And lastly, I give the floor to the representative of the European Union.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, and apologies for taking the floor again, but when after closing my statement, I realized that I had not answered the question, one of the questions posed by G77, and it's a question that was also afterwards reiterated by the U.S., and it's indeed the question about the justification for the text and the placement of paragraph 5bis. I think it's very clear that when we are talking about the outcome of this conference, we're talking about the need of taking certain measures. And it's clear that certain of those measures will actually imply certain costs. And it's always that the argument is being put forward that it is more cost-effective not to do something than to do something, because not to do something is implied doesn't cost anything. Now, we've had over the last couple of years two groundbreaking reports, one on climate change, one on biodiversity, which have demonstrated with extreme clarity that many of the global environmental issues, the cost of not taking action far outweighs the cost of some of the mitigation and adaptation measures. And therefore, we found it crucial that this principle be included in the starting chapter of our draft outcome document. And that was clearly the intention for us to include it here. I think that we need to be conscious of the fact that when you run through the list of issues that we might might address in the outcome document. There are many of those elements where it is very clear that if we do not take action now, the cost of inaction, i.e. the later cost of to address those issues, will be much higher than what we are possibly forced to do today. Now, having the floor, I just would like to make two additional points. Going back to paragraph one, I overlooked when I first spoke that we are not at all happy with replacing secure by happy as suggested by the G77. We're happy to see them next to each other, but I think secure still needs to be there. The other point that I wanted to make is in the text that we have now, it is indicated next to the two proposals made by Liechtenstein on 4 bis and 4 ter that we asked for deletion of that. I would like to point out that it's not that we want to delete that, but I think we have questions with regard to its placement and to its wording, and also the duplication of some of the proposals that we have made, and we've noted that Liechtenstein is ready to consider the placement and the wording as long as the concepts are addressed. So I think that should be duly noted in that. Okay. And lastly, I would like to thank the G77 Algeria for clarifying the 2 bis part on reinforcing and structured measures. Again, I think he made it now very clear that what it is, and I think we can now recognize what he's trying to achieve and start to analyze and prepare our reaction to that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We have dwelt on this preamble party, preamble side long enough, and if there is any further comment on the preamble and vision part, then you can revisit during the second part of our discussion. Now I move to the second part of our discussion, which is renewing political commitment. Please be focused on item A, B, and C, and we will have the opportunity later on to discuss on the substance and the location of the item D later on. I now open the floor.
Meestal in 30 seconden. Als ze moet iets fout hebben gedaan met de knop, maar dat komt wel goed.
Algeria, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. Are we going to address the whole thing? Or start by A and after that B and...
A, B, and C.
All this?
Yes, comprehensively.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Hoe laat gaan we door, Emiel?
Net de kans van je overnemen als je wil.
Maar tot laat gaan we door?
12 uur.
12 uur.
Of te laat.
Hm?
Dus of te laat. Nee. De vergadering stopt om 12 uur, dat is 6 uur Amerikaanse tijd.
And also, as a courtesy to the speakers following you, please try to be as concise and to the point as possible. Ready. Shall I give the first floor to you while you are preparing? Okay, EU, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I start my comments with a sixth tier as proposed by the G77. Now, I think that there are two ways you can understand the thrust of this message, and it's perhaps something that it would be good if our colleagues from Algeria could elaborate. One is that we are talking about the need for the multilateral system to actively engage in implementation of actions in favor of sustainable development, which is something that we very certainly share. However, that the full language as we have it here proposed by the G77 seems to be talking about something else, namely the changes in the structures and in the membership of in multilateral institutions, and that I think would be a discussion that we would not want to have here, and something that should be dealt with in the appropriate fora. Therefore, we have a question mark with regard to that. Now, what we certainly can refer to, sort of give our support to, is to reaffirming our commitment to an inclusive, transparent, and effective multilateralism. I think that's a general statement that we're very comfortable with. But I think when it comes after that, I think it's very much open to interpretation what we mean and what we would be committing to. And I think we have sort of some question marks with regard to that. But it could be interesting to hear the G77 explain that proposal further. I think they have very helpfully explained that on other occasions on further, so I think that would help us a lot in our consideration. Now, the second set of comments is that on the package, as it's been called by the G77 on the reformulation of 7, 8 and 9, where we have seen sort of extensive reformulation of the original text of the co-chairs. And I think that certainly 7 alt in itself is something that is pretty much close to the original 7, and I think in itself it's something that we can certainly work with in the future work. Now, then in 8 and 8, 8 alt, there is a certain, in 8, there is 8 and 9 alt, there is a long a listing of different outcomes of international conferences, and I think neither of these of these listings is actually very is comprehensive and complete. So I think it would probably be better either to have just a reference to the outcome of relevant international conferences, or to make sure that we have a really comprehensive list, and we certainly would be able to add the one or the other conference still to that very long list. Now, in 8 alt, as formulated by the G77, again, we see the problem that we have a paraphrasing of principles of the Rio Declaration, and one can again ask the question, why some and not others? And I think from our point of view, I go back to the statement that I made on the earlier section, that we would like to see one blanket statement and reference to the Rio Declaration, and that's it. Because otherwise, if we always have to assess what the mention of a specific principle means in a certain context, our work and our life is made a lot more difficult. Now, going forward to our comment of 9bis, proposed by the G77, I think that we are clearly supportive of the call of for all countries, and I guess in that context it should be parties, to fully implement their commitments under the 3 convention and to take effectively concrete measures and action at all level. However, it's again a reference to the principle of common but differentiated responsibility, and I think that
when you look at the construction of the text, we have to be very careful, because for instance in the Climate Change Convention, the principle of common but differentiated responsibility is actually worded differently. So I think we would prefer not to have a reference to the principle of common but differentiated responsibilities here, because it's dealt with specifically in each of the three conventions that we have here. I think that since we are again talking about heads of state and government, we actually can choose between two types of languages, that the heads of state and government call upon all parties to do something, or they can commit themselves to do something. So I think that would be more appropriate. Now on 9ter, we are a little bit puzzled by the last part of the text. I think that we are this is a little bit of an unconcrete language, like the supported by adequate means of implementation that would ensure accelerated implementation. I think that when we go back to the full consideration of means of implementation as it's been discussed in international conferences, this is a very wild field. So I think that's something that still needs to be clarified. Now, on the Mexican proposal on 9quint, again, it's an extremely interesting proposal. We are very interested in working with Mexico for a wording that we can better understand, and hopefully we mean the same message and we need to go in the same direction. We are very positive on having a strong message on sustainable cities and sustainable urbanization. The Alt-10, we are quite interested by... Sorry, now I need the clarification. Is it sections A, B, and C all in one go? Okay, thank you. I was just told by my colleague that I might may go beyond what you had asked us to comment. Now, then I proceed. In 10, there is a very interesting Japanese proposal in the end about the new opportunities presented by the deep diversification of actors, although the questions could be asked whether that language would not be fit better in the part on the engagement of major groups. Now, in 10.1, as proposed by the G77, I think we have an issue here, because when you look at the beginning of the text, we do contest that the statement in here actually is factually correct. Luckily, in the world of today, the gap between developing and developed countries is not increasing. We've seen a lot of examples where developing countries and emerging economies have actually reduced the gap or actually filled the gap completely. And I think it is describing a global situation which is not the situation of today. And I think that the kind of this statement does not adequately reflect the real world in which we're living. Now, the question is also that it is very difficult for us to engage on language which doesn't necessarily represent language that one could contemplate to discuss at head of state and government level. I'll just give you an example. A language which says, which demand neither accommodation nor relativism, but innovative and bold solution. So I think that is a language which I don't think heads of state and government could contemplate. So I think that is a paragraph which has both substantive problems, but also has problems in terms of appropriateness of wording, and it's very difficult for us to engage engage on this one. Now, on the Mexican proposal on 10.02, again, there are interesting messages in there. It is, however, not clear what is the final punchline when Mexico says sustainable development is still a common undertaking. That is something that I'm not too clear about. Yeah. Then finally coming to paragraph 11, which is, I have to say, where we in our internal preparatory work got completely stuck, because it's one of those paragraphs which has become completely unreadable, and
and I'm at the loss to see how we could solve that by way of bilateral, trilateral, or multilateral conversations. I think that in with regard to the state in which we are in some of the parts of the text, we will have to rely on your good services, co-chairs, to provide us with some idea of where we could go, because it becomes an unwieldy text which is unreadable even to the most distinguishing reader. I think that the only comment that I would like to make is on one Swiss comment which talks about external and systemic crisis, which in our view is not quite the usual way to refer to such situations. Chair, I will not be able to comment further on the parts of the text because we have not proceeded in our consideration of the text further than that, so I'll stop here. Thank you.
Are you prepared for your statement now? Okay, please go ahead. Algeria.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that we, in G77, we did not have the opportunity to engage in the whole text, but we tried to be more constructive, positive, in answer to your request to use this time fruitfully. But for sure we will have the opportunity to get back to all the wordings that we have in this text. What I will try to do, since it's a little bit long to address all the sections, I will try to explain the rationale behind our proposals without going further, because if I will start going in each paragraph, I'm afraid that I will not finish in 1 hour. So I will try to just...
But please be reminded that you'll be as brief as possible and to the point.
That's what I'm going to do, Mr. Chair. We will start with the paragraph, with the subsection 1, which is, the title is Reaffirming Your Principles and Past Action Plans. Of course, we agree with that title, just we will ask for the brackets to be removed. And we agree for the placement of the first paragraph 6 on renewing the commitment to the principles of the Charter and international law. On 6bis, we presented language, since we are dealing with the UN Charter and the international law, we wanted to address the issue of multilateralism, which is very important, to strengthen also the United Nations, which is very important, but also we are saying full and fair representation of the developing countries. We are not saying that we would like to have more representation than others, just full and fair representation in all, of course, the United Nations institutions. On paragraph 7, 8, and 9, we agree more or less with the language that is there and the issues, but we wanted first to complement with some references, second, to address in more comprehensive way those paragraphs. This is why we presented our package of three paragraphs, starting with the reaffirmation of Rio principles, and I see that Mexico joined that, and even the proposal of Holy See is not far from our proposal. We addressed in the second paragraph the issue of strengthening and reinforcing sustainable development globally and nationally within the principles of CBDR and the sovereign rate of states over their natural resources. And I repeat myself that we are not singling out, but the context needs to address these two principles, and we are open to address any other principles. And the third paragraph is the reaffirmation of our commitment to fully implement all the documents that you have there, from Rio Declaration, Agenda 21, GPOI, Barbados, the documents on LDCs, Africa, SEEDS, and LDCs. And of course, we kept it inclusive and open with the last addition, as well as commitments of all United Nations conferences and summits. On paragraph 9, we addressed our commitment to sustainable development and to the achievement of sustainable of the MDGs. And in paragraph 9, quad, the Monterrey consensus reference in the co-chair's proposal, we agreed with the reference, but we wanted to address that issue, which is very important for us in separate paragraph. In the subsection B, the subsection, the title is Assessing the Progress to Date and Remaining Gaps in the Implementation of the Outcomes of the Major Summits on Sustainable Development and Renewing and Addressing New and Emerging Challenges. We will find a lot of proposals here from G77 because we intend to really make the assessment and address the remaining gaps. We do not want to have it in one paragraph and that's it. We have some success stories and we still have a lot of issues to do. We would like to address all the issues that were in some sort obstacles to the achievement of sustainable development. We started in the paragraph 10 by first saying that we had some progress, but lots still needs to be done and for the issue of persistent increasing gaps that the EU said doesn't reflect the reality, we cannot build on one or two success stories in some sectors and say that we are okay, there is no any more gap or the gap is not increasing. Let's see the picture as well between developing and developed countries. You will see that while people are living in high standards, living in Europe or the United States or elsewhere, they are dying in the Horn of Africa, and they are dying in lot of other developing countries from hunger and from diseases, etc. So we do believe that the gap is increasing indeed between developed and developing countries. Of course, we addressed the paragraph 11. We have an alternative, but we worked basically on the text provided by the co-chairs. We had just listing of both the crisis and the challenges that are affecting the achievement of sustainable development. We added a paragraph on the lack of integration plus the challenge of climate change, which is a serious challenge not only for developing countries but for the whole international community. On paragraph 12, we had just small amendments to the language chair. This is the same for the paragraph 13. We had 13 bis on poverty. As I said before, poverty is really an overriding issue for developing countries. This is why we are going to address it appropriately in this outcome document. In the paragraphs 13, ter, quat, quint, and sixth, we are addressing some other obstacles to the achievement of sustainable development, the issues of ODA or the SCP, but also the crises that are affecting developing countries. In the 13th sept, we are addressing the serious issue of unemployment, which is not only the concern of developing countries, but we do believe that it's also the concern of a lot of developed countries. In paragraph 14, as I said before, the middle sentence, we moved it to the preamble part because we do believe that the mainstreaming of sustainable development should be addressed there, and we worked on the basis of the language provided by the co-chairs. On 103 and on 14 bis and 14 ter, in my document, the two paragraphs dealing with the foreign occupation, as I said yesterday, we are addressing this issue from the angle of sustainable development. We cannot exclude those populations from benefiting from sustainable development. We are addressing all categories of countries, of populations, of vulnerable, but we cannot exclude the people living under foreign occupation. And I noticed that some delegations asked for the deletion of that paragraph without providing the rationale behind that. But this is the opportunity, probably, and I will ask through the chairs for those delegations to explain why they are asking for the deletion of those two paragraphs. In 14 Quint, we addressed the important issue of health. I think that in the draft it was not well addressed by the draft provided by the co-chairs. Paragraph 15, it is addressing the different categories of countries. We prefer to delete that and replace it by more comprehensive paragraphs addressing DCs, LDCs, LLDCs, Africa, and the middle-income countries. Of course, that we are open to work on the language with the partners. On paragraph 15 bis, we are addressing also an important issue for the group, which is the trade and the barriers that are imposed on developing countries. To facilitate a decision on that, we worked on the agreed language from the 66th resolution on trade and development, which was agreed by consensus by member states. On 16, we provided just small amendments. We addressed in 16 bis the issue of the harmony with nature and the protection and the integrity of the ecosystem, the Earth's ecosystems. And the two last paragraphs in this subsection are dealing with the issue, the important issue of the transfer of technology in the 16th term. And in 16th what, we are addressing the issue of the unilateral measures that are taken against developing countries and that are affecting the achievement of sustainable development agenda. In the last subsection, C, we agree more or less on the elements that have been provided by the co-chairs, but we reformulated that in the sense that in the first paragraph we address the role of governments, parliaments, and local authorities, and in the second we keep it to the major groups, the role that they are playing. In a third paragraph, we address the issue of civil society and the role that the civil society is supposed to play in the achievement of sustainable development. We address the private sector, and we address also the indigenous people, local communities, women, disabled persons, children. And one issue that has been that was not reflected in the draft of the co-chairs is the role that workers and trade unions can play in the promotion and the achievement of sustainable development. We addressed it in one separate paragraph. I'm sorry for being, we have a lot of proposals, sorry for taking a lot of time. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. You don't have to apologize. You are doing a very fine job and you deserve some rest at the moment. Now, I give the floor to the representative of New Zealand.
Thank you, Co-Chair. In this section, we would like to see the title broadened. It's just referring to Rio principles and past action plans, but in fact, it's got quite a number of other documents in there, so maybe we just put in "and other relevant documents" or something like that. We think that the there's some duplication from the earlier section, as I said before, so I would just invite you to streamline. We would say that the documents, some of the documents referred to in the first in the preamble section, should actually be referred to in this document. Like the EU, we had a question over six-tier, not convinced that that's necessary, so we want to reserve our position on that. We think that there needs to be some general paragraph on the Rio documents, and we were happy enough with your formulation. There seem to be quite a lot of paragraphs on the principles here. We would be we can go along with separating out that part of your paragraph 7, but as some of the others have mentioned, we think that it should be the principles should just be reaffirmed here, and then we don't need to repeat them individually in the subsequent paragraphs. So we would not therefore want that some of the references will come to in a minute. On paragraph 8, we've mentioned that we thought that other international outcomes should be referred to here, and Switzerland's got some language at the beginning of paragraph 8. If we have some generic language like that, which we could support, we don't see a need then to have a long list of documents. And in fact, some of the ones that we've got no problem with the ones referred to here in paragraph 8, but they're also in some of these other subsequent paragraphs, so we'd say let's only have them once. With regard to paragraph, so we would prefer the 8, the first part of 8, not 8 alt. With regard to paragraph 9, this is one of the ones which we thought should be deleted. So we have a reference to a reaffirmation of RIO principles in paragraph 8 and or 7, I think it is, and then that should be it. We're also not sure about...